and we're talking bees. The populations of our buzzy little friends have been in free fall around the world since 2013, even maybe earlier than that. It feels like it's been going on for a while now. Certainly since 2013, though, we've seen the global population down by a solid third in some areas. Now, there's been a number of programs, plans instituted to attempt to both understand this problem and also to halt it. And recently on social media, there's been a bit of a push, hashtag save the bees. Well, to talk to us a little bit about the problem and some of these plans is the president of the Amateur Beekeepers Association, Nathan Organ. Nathan, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thanks for joining us on the program this morning. Now, those of us who maybe aren't necessarily in the know, what's been behind this mass decline in bee populations?
Well, the big issue across the globe is the varroa mite and the diseases and viruses that it carries. And we are probably the last vestige of that's free of that particular beast. And we work very hard to try and stop that from coming into our shores. You know, it's found as close as Papua New Guinea and New Zealand, so we're quite fortunate to not have that here. But it is something that we're all very aware of and that everyone's working very hard on. In fact, there's a Dr. Emily Remnant from the University of Sydney who is right up there in the research around the world of the varroa mite and the diseases it carries, and she's been working pretty closely with people around the world to try and find ways of either immunising or eradicating that sort of disease.
Do we know where this disease actually sprang from?
Yeah, it's one that jumped species. It was from the Asian honeybees found all throughout Asia, and it was a mite that those bees had, and it jumped over to the European honeybee, and that's where it sort of started spreading out throughout the US and Europe. And it's basically that coupled with the you know, the drop in available forage and you know, pesticides used in crops and just other environmental pressures that the bees have that have contributed to what they call this colony collapse disorder. And that's just where basically you know, the bees typically can take care of themselves, and you know, but they've been known to push mice aside in the corner of boxes and put wax over the top of them to clean up the hive. So they're very, very good at looking after themselves, but when it all builds up, it just reaches the critical mass to a point where, you know, they just can't keep ahead of it, and it catches up and the colony collapses.
How has Australia managed to be relatively resilient in this sort of, this ensuring, well, I guess you might say, bee-pocalypse we've been facing in other parts of the world? Is it something to do with our geographical isolation?
Well, of course. I mean, we have, as well as our geographical isolation, we have very strong quarantine laws. I don't think there's a person in Australia, possibly in the world, that is not aware of how strict our quarantine is. And, you know, you watch those shows on TV that show people trying to bring all sorts of crazy things in and claim it's not food and it actually is. But, you know, we're very vigilant with that sort of thing. So that's a testament to how good that regime is. That we've stopped it from coming in. But the biggest concern is coming in on cargo and things like that. So you introduced me as president of the ABA. I'm president of my local branch in the Inner West, so I can't claim anything beyond that. But being in the Inner West, we are along the water there of, you know, one of the nation's national ports. So, you know, I think as amateur beekeepers with hives throughout Sydney and along the waterways, it's really important for us to check our hives and make sure there's no diseases in them, because you know, if something was to come in through the ports from a shipping container or off a boat or something like that, a colony has you know, started a hive in a shipping container or something like that, they would jump ship and, you know, end up in one of our hives that are fairly close to the water.
Now, as I understand, we have seen this save the bees movement trending and the like. What kind of programs are we actually seeing put in place to help foster, well, bees, the sort of the growth and maintenance of beehives here in Australia, and I guess in some of these afflicted regions as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, as amateur beekeepers, there's a lot of us around compared to, say, the commercial beekeepers have more hives, of course, but there's more people doing amateur beekeeping than there are commercial. So, you know, we're sort of the front line, I guess, and the people that are out there in the community that are able to talk to people. And, you know, it's all about awareness. And, you know, this interview right now is a perfect example of taking this time out just to explain to people what the situation is and what they can do. And just, you know, getting people interested in it. And it certainly is something that's becoming more popular. It seems to be a trendy thing at the moment to be into bees and beekeeping and honey and bee products. And, you know, we have some very good honey in Australia, right up there along with Manuka. I don't think there's a single person on the planet that doesn't know what Manuka is. And that's a great success story. But, you know, there's three or four varieties of honey in Australia that are claimed to have as good or better properties than Manuka. So, you know, we need to work hard to make sure that our honey is seen as a premium product, and that the way we keep bees is a very clean and, you know, highly organized thing.
So for an average sort of ordinary person, the kind of person who doesn't really know much more about bees except, you know, they're sort of black and white, black and yellow, and they sting and make honey, what is there for people to do to get involved or to help foster the bees?
Yeah, it's a great question. There's lots of things we can do, from planting plants in your garden. There's a great publication by Mark Leach that's available for free from agrifutures.infoservices.com.au. That has a great guide and explanation of how you can arrange your garden, types of plants that you can plant in your garden, which includes things like the flowering gums, and you've got hibiscus and lavender, oregano, basil. You let basil go to flower, you'll see bees all over it. Thyme, grevilleas, banksias, raspberries, blueberries, all your fruits like passion fruits and lemons and apples and that sort of stuff. All that stuff is food for the bees. So you can do that. You can leave water sources in your yard, so bird baths with stones placed in them so that there's places for the bees to land on and to be able to get in out of the water without drowning. So there's some of the basic things you can do to make your garden a resource for bees. And then, of course, you can do things beyond that, which is you can start keeping bees yourself. You can get a native beehive of the stingless bees, so they don't sting. You can stand in front of them, they land on your hand, they can't sting you. Or you can get a European honeybee hive. Or you can just join your local branch of the Amateur Beekeepers Association and join in on some of the information nights that we have. Locally, we run two events per month, one on a Monday night and one on a Sunday night. On a Sunday. The Sundays are typically a set of hands-on practical type session, and on the Monday nights we have some information sessions where we present on various things that we've learned and that we understand. So you can do that, and then through that local club you can get access to equipment and bees and that sort of stuff. You can go out and collect swarms, which are, you know, bees that sort of split out from a hive and fly off into a tree. There's lots you can do, and even if you don't have room for a hive, you know, I have an idea of maybe setting up a Tinder-style service where we can match up our beekeepers with people that have gardens, because I'm sure there are people out there that have got gardens and wouldn't mind having bees, and I know there are people out there that want to keep bees but either don't have the space or don't have permission to use the space. I think that'll come as a natural course, and it's certainly something that people are getting more interested in, so I think it's definitely feasible for that to happen.
Tremendous. Nathan, thank you very much. Really do appreciate you joining us this morning.
No problems at all.
That was the president of the Inner West chapter of the Amateur Beekeepers Association, Nathan Organ, speaking to us about some of the some of the problems facing bees worldwide and how people can actually help. Now, I think my apartment block would get a little bit upset if I started keeping beehives, but myself and my partner have been thinking about planting some more. We've got some big pots that have been sitting there since we moved in fact, that we were thinking of planting a few flowering plants, maybe a little bit of basil or such in them, and that might just be the kind of kick we need. Maybe the kind of kick you need to do a little bit of landscaping around your place. I'm sure we'll try and stick up some more information on the podcast. That one at 2SER.com/daily. Check those ones out for the podcast and playlists of today and every daily show.